If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 6, 1 Timothy chapter 6, we'll see how we go with time. I've got several messages in this chapter that I've been looking at, and we could easily go down one rabbit trail or another and end up in many different places, but we'll just begin reading in 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we'll start at the beginning of the chapter, and we might just read the whole chapter first. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strife of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, and oppositions of science, so falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. The first to Timothy was written from Laodicea, which was chief city of Phrygia, Pacatania. I don't know if that's part. Is that part of yours as well? No. Okay, so that's notes that somehow didn't get put with a note next to them. That's a problem. We'll have to circle that one in this Bible. Didn't remember that part. All right. We have here in Timothy, the end of the book here of 1 Timothy, we have many exhortations and challenges. And I have to admit, I've been looking into this passage because there are so many quotable bits. You know, godliness with contentment is great gain. I don't know how many times I've heard that one quoted. And it's good. It's a good thing to remember. Or the love of money is the root of all evil. Of course, most people leave off the love of part and they just say money is the root of all evil, in which they miss the point that it's covetousness rather than money that is the problem. But what caught my attention just recently was in starting in verse 13. And this is the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ that we are to hold fast to. This good confession of Jesus that he gave. So in verse 13, we'll read this one again. It says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Timothy is being charged, or he's being given a commandment from Paul. Now, a commandment from Paul doesn't carry the same weight as a commandment from God, except this one is written into Scripture, so it does. Okay? But this is a charge that Paul was laying on Timothy. And in the midst of his charge, he describes Jesus as having given a good confession or witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate. And I thought about that. What is it that Jesus said to Pilate, a witness that he gave to Pilate? And so we'll turn there in just a moment. But the point of bringing up Pontius Pilate in verse 13 is because he again goes to the title that Pilate had and the title that Pilate gave to Jesus and put above his head on the cross in verse 15. He says, the blessed and only potentate, that is ruler, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ was seen, accused, and confessed before Pontius Pilate that he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. So I want us to turn there briefly and look at this confession before Pontius Pilate. We'll look in John chapter 18. That's one of the more extensive interactions between Pilate and Jesus described for us. John chapter 18 and verse 28 and following. Then led they Jesus, this is John chapter 18, verse 28, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? And they answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, saying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall, and called Jesus, and said unto him, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, saying, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? And Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And we'll stop there. At this point, we have Jesus witnessing to Pilate. And Pilate is asking him questions about what his kingdom is, if he's a king. And Jesus is very clearly saying that he has a kingdom that is not of this world. And Jesus very clearly says, you say that I'm a king. I was born for this reason. that I should bear witness to the truth. All of this is Jesus declaring himself to be king. Pilate understood part of it. He didn't understand everything, but in the next chapter, in verse 3, Hail the King of the Jews was the statement they threw in his face to mock him with and put above his cross. There was a title in verse 19 of chapter 19, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The King of the Jews. This was the title given to him. Pilate agreed with Jesus. Now, Pilate had in his mind that he was going to mock not only Jesus, but the Jews by putting to death the supposed King of the Jews. And he did not want to listen to the truth that Jesus, his kingdom was not from here on this earth, but was a kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Wasn't that Jesus' message all throughout his ministry? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why? Because the King of Kings was present with them. The King of Kings was in their presence. Pilate understood part of the truth. He's a king, but he didn't understand everything. Jesus, though, didn't just give him the few bits he would understand. Jesus declared to him much truth. My kingdom is not of this world, and if it were, my people would fight to keep me out of the Jews' hands. Jesus witnessed a true witness, a good confession before Pontius Pilate, and this witness was that he came from above. And that he only came to this earth so that he could truly rise to being King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He humbled himself that he might be lifted up. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. We've seen then this confession that Jesus Christ made before Pontius Pilate. And this was not the only time that he had confessed these things, but this is perhaps the most clear he had ever been. There were a few times when he was asked, maybe you remember, John the Baptist sent some men to Jesus to say, are you the Messiah? Are you the Christ? Are you the one who is sent from God? And Jesus said, well, you've seen the works I've done. Tell John that. But here, before Pontius Pilate, Jesus declared, thou hast said it. Yep, that's me. I'm the king, but my kingdom's not here. My kingdom isn't at this time. Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In verse 15, we find that Jesus Christ, at his timing, He will be revealed as the potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, because he alone hath immortality. I don't know if you have thought about it this way. Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead, has, as it were, immortality in his pocket. And as the king over immortality, he can gift it to whomever he will. And if we are part of his kingdom, if we recognize him as the only blessed potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, if we come to him, he can give to us this immortality, this deathlessness. We find also that he not only has immortality, but he dwells in light which no man can approach. This reminds us of the holiness of God. Moses, when he wanted to see God and his glory, he was told, you can only see the hindermost parts, the last reflections of the fading of the glory of God passing by, else it would have killed him. Jesus stands in that glory. He alone stands in that glory. Any human standing there would be destroyed because we are entirely corrupt. We are not perfect. We are not able to stand up to God's holiness. The light of God is more powerful, more good, more just than we could ever imagine. And Jesus is standing there in that. We find then at the end of verse 16 the exaltation of Christ described. To whom, that is to Jesus, be honor and power everlasting. Amen. What is it that Paul wanted Timothy to keep? What charge did he want him to keep? Well, if we went back to verse 12, we would say it's fight the good fight of faith. Or in verse 11, we would say that it is fleeing unrighteous things that are listed for us in verse 10, and instead follow after righteousness. But I think that it is instead to continue witnessing a good confession. We are to be Jesus' witnesses. We are to witness of Him in all the world. We're to be witnessing of Jesus Christ who died and rose again. We should be declaring to everyone what Jesus declared to Pontius Pilate. Jesus Christ came for this cause, that He could live and die and bring us into His everlasting kingdom, that He could deliver to us life and life more abundant and free. This is the charge that Paul is laying on Timothy. Paul is calling out to Timothy to witness the same things that Jesus Christ witnessed. But to what end? What is the purpose for witnessing Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords? I don't know about you, but many times we come to church and we sing our Christian songs. We sing them, you know, we're mouths are moving, voices are going. And then you stop and you think about the words that you're singing and you say, oh, this is really good. You know, it's praising Jesus or it's lifting up His name, and this is all good. We're praising who God is and what He has done through our Savior. We are expressing the testimony of others who have gone before us and following Jesus. But what is the purpose if no one else but us Christians hear it? You know, Sunday night, most of us know Jesus as Savior. We're not testifying to anyone who doesn't agree. They have a saying, you're preaching to the choir, because the choir knows what's going on. They've hopefully heard the message before. They are walking with God, and so when you preach to them, you're preaching to the ones who are already converted and trained up. But we are to go to the Pontius Pilates, to those who only intend to mock Christ, or who we don't see any chance of them coming to know Jesus as Savior, and yet we are told to go to them and witness to them. We are told to witness a good confession of Christ, to express how great He is and what position He truly deserves. Because again, the point of this charge is that Jesus Christ receive the honor, that Jesus Christ be exalted for the power that He has now and through eternity. It's good for us to remember, to encourage one another, to sing the hymns, and, you know, make ourselves familiar with the words that are true. But if we are not going to others and expressing to them that salvation is only in Christ Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we are failing. failing. Jesus was not standing before Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate viewing him as an equal. Pontius Pilate was the judge who held Jesus' life in his hands, who could put him to death for any reason that he desired. Pontius Pilate had that power over Jesus. He had that authority. And he was questioning Jesus not as an equal, sitting down and saying, "Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?" But instead was the ruler coming and saying, "You've been accused of this. Defend yourself." And Jesus calmly just stated that, yes, he is the king. He is the king from heaven. Jesus calmly stated those things, and Pilate partially believed it. Sometimes that's all we can expect, is that when we give the gospel, it might be partially understood. We are not told of Pontius Pilate's rest of his life in the scripture. It's possible that he had come before him other Christians after. They were being hauled before the Jewish councils and being stoned and other things. And it was only a few years before the Roman Empire was attacking Christians. So it's possible that Pontius Pilate had other interactions with Christians later. And perhaps they too witnessed to him. We do not know if he later went from a partial understanding to a full understanding of who Jesus is. That he is not just the king, but the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That he did not just understand that Jesus Christ was one that he had put to death and rumored to come back to life, but rather that he was God's Son, come to redeem his people. We do not know. But we can give a good confession of Christ. We can give a good confession of Christ. If you've ever given a tract or told someone about salvation, maybe you've invited someone to church, have you focused on who Jesus is? Because no matter what your tract is, if it's all about sin and deliverance from sin, there's one key that's true of every gospel presentation that is helpful. It focuses on Jesus. It's the person of Jesus that makes the difference. It's not about knowing this doctrine and that doctrine and big fancy words like propitiation, right? That's not what saves you. What saves someone is an interaction with Jesus Christ, the Lord, the King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. That is what makes the difference. And so we should really become promoters of Jesus. Does that change perhaps how you view witnessing and handing out tracts? It changes it for me. If I'm doing my duty to tell someone about Jesus, and I'm explaining to them, you know, how the Baptists are good, or how they should come to church, or, you know, this is the way that you can be rescued from hell, the focus is all wrong. But if instead I'm going from person to person and introducing them to the most important person of all time, Jesus Christ, the Beloved, Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, before whom they will one day stand, if I'm introducing them to Him, then we are accomplishing a lot. We're accomplishing a lot. And I can get excited about that. You know, if salvation is just a get-out-of-hell sort of cure, you can be a little bit excited about that. But if you're introducing Jesus, the most powerful, amazing, wonderful, kind person, as that last hymn we sang pointed out, Jesus who was in agony at Gethsemane and understands what it's like to be in agony, Jesus who suffered wrongly at the hands of others, he understands when we are suffering. Introducing this person, that is an exciting, exciting task. That is a task we can get behind. You can say, oh, well, I don't know all the details about how, God's will and man's will and, who makes the first move and all of that. And there's a lot of debates about how this all fits together. Great, don't worry about any of that. Tell people about Jesus Christ. Tell them about Him. If they know about Jesus Christ, that's all they need. They find Him. They find salvation. If they have Him, they have salvation, regardless of if they understand the difference between God drawing us and our choice of God. And if they find Jesus, they have eternal life. They have Him, they have life. Point them to Him, not just as a free from hell, freedom from sin, but Jesus Christ, the most important person I could ever introduce you to. If you or I had the phone number, the personal, private, red phone line directly to the most important and powerful person in the world, I don't know who that is today, maybe it's the king or I don't know. You have that direct line and you had the opportunity to tell people about something. I can guarantee you, pride of place in your house would be this red phone that's a direct line. And you would tell everyone about how you can talk to the most powerful person in the world and things will get done. You will tell them about this king or ruler who has such authority and how you can contact them. And you might even get them to have a go at talking to this important person. It would be the number one topic that you would have. In fact, most of your friends would get annoyed at you at some point because they don't have that red phone in their house and you keep telling them about it. Here we have Jesus Christ. Not just a story of, but we have a personal relationship with Him. We have daily interactions. At least we have the opportunity for that. Daily interactions with Him. We know Jesus. We should be shouting it from the housetops. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Do you know Him? You should. One day you're going to stand before Him. He is over you. And He will make judgment on your life. We should be crying out, Jesus has immortality. Won't you come to Him? Jesus, who dwells in light that no man can approach, holiness surrounds Him. We should be describing Jesus to everyone, and when they find Him, they will also find immortality, eternal life for themselves. They will be encouraged, enticed into faith in such a powerful and wonderful Savior. This is the charge that Paul laid on Timothy here at the end of 1 Timothy, and there's other charges, and we won't get into those tonight. But here is a charge for you. Witness a good confession of Jesus Christ. Witness a good confession of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is coming again, who is blessed, the only potentate, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this message will change people from the inside out. You don't need to be the best convincer, argumentationer person. I know that's not a word. I thought that would catch your attention. You don't need to be the biggest apologist, that's what they call them, people who make arguments for or against something. You don't need to be the greatest debater. All you need to be is one who knows Jesus and can describe Him to others. Describe Him as He is. described his high and lifted up status, described how easily approachable he is. Describe Jesus, your best friend, and if you can do that, others will want to know him too. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for your help as we go through this week. Lord, might we truly magnify Jesus in our own minds, but also to every person that we meet. Might we show that Jesus truly is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, one to be obeyed, one to be spoken about, one to be praised, because he is worthy of all honor through all eternity. Father, we ask that you would lead us to those this week who need to be encouraged, who need to seek for a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would give us the wisdom to describe to them Jesus and him alone. That, Lord, our lips will be full of his praises, and that each one we come across will want to meet, to know, to follow this precious Savior that we have. And Father, we ask that your name would receive all the glory and praise from everything we do and say this week.